CliffCentral.com.
Done wrestle with an alligator. Good morning, everybody. What's happening? What's up, bitches? What have you been doing that you don't want to tell anyone about, huh? Yeah, don't you think that's a great way to start your morning? Is admit something that you haven't been telling anyone about? Yeah. Like, Mabali started a serious path towards attaining her bucket list goal of making a music video.
Yeah,
like you're doing some stuff with MTV. I don't know how much you're allowed to talk about, but I mean, I think it's pretty cool.
Oh,
that's what you were doing yesterday. Everybody's saying to me, oh, why wasn't Mabali there yesterday? Why is it so mysterious? Some parts of your life aren't, and you do a lot of stuff.
Oh, yeah, no, yeah. This is absolutely not mysterious. I work for a production company that's, you know...
Television production.
No,
it's a serious business.
That basically has a number of shows that they're producing, and so every now and again I'm called out to a project, one project or another.
Right.
And I, you know, sometimes I just, it means that I have to miss a show or two. That's all.
Well...
Nothing mysterious there. It's just work.
If you're working on stuff that goes on MTV Base, you may have your music video one day, right?
Wow.
So baby steps. Baby steps. All right, what's it today? Wednesday. God, it's almost the end of the month, hey?
Yeah, Friday.
June is gone. I know I was overseas for like 10 days. I feel like I barely left. Because when you get back in the swing of things, it just feels like you haven't missed a beat, you know? It's weird. I was on the show every other day, so I really only missed one show. But... It doesn't feel like we've had a month of June. I remember May, and now I know July is just around the corner. But I don't remember June. I don't think I had that much time in June. I don't think she gave me a full session.
Oh,
I'm going to demand a refund.
Oh no, June. June, you know, as far as months go, she's not the best of the months.
No, she's really pretty mean. Your birthday's in June.
Yes.
She's a mean bitch.
Tough. Could it have anything to do with the fact that you lost a week of June to, you know, to another country? Different season, different...
Yeah, maybe.
World.
Different
maybe.
Pace.
Yeah, she doesn't, like... I would love to live. This is how I want to live. I mean... Why don't we just have tons of money, huh? Why?
It's the question I ask.
Wouldn't it be nice to live in perpetual summer?
Yeah.
Like you said, I think it was Black Coffee's wife. Said, I haven't bought winter clothes for like 6 years.
Yeah. Because half of the year they spend in the Northern Hemisphere, so they don't do winter.
So I ate some steak last night and I cooked it. And the problem with that is that I feel like everything smells of steak for like a couple hours afterwards. Do you know what I mean?
Did you have a heavy basting sauce?
No, not even. I always feel like it's hanging around me.
Mm.
I almost think it's, unless someone else is cooking it for me, I shouldn't do that.
Mm-hmm.
I don't like to cook steak.
Well, that's
and you're smelling
like
your clothes the whole time. You're like, do I smell like burning meat? It's a horrible smell.
How do you have your steak?
Medium.
Okay.
Yeah. But still, it's a messy business, you know?
Yeah.
It's a messy business, this cooking. It's not for me.
Adulting is not for me.
Yeah, it's really not.
So
it's not for any of us.
A proper meltdown yesterday.
Uh-oh.
Because I just couldn't adult anymore.
What happened?
Was
your fidget spinner not working?
No. So after a day of great bliss with my fidget spinner, I get home and my flat is flooded.
Oh, God. All right. Now, I would have been pissed off. Did you leave a tap on?
Yes.
Oh, you idiot. So it's nobody else's fault.
No. But not me. My flatmate's fault. Jesus. And the first thing
Were you furious?
Responsible adult does is I call my mother. I'm like, oh, I don't know what to do.
What a mess.
I proper had a little cry on the phone with my mother on the line. It was horrible. So there's no water in the afternoon when she was around.
Yeah.
And I don't know, for her, she thought like this is a great thing to do, but she left the bathroom taps on so that like they would, you know, she would hear the water as it came back. But she forgot and she walked out.
Oh, no.
So when I came home at around like 4, which was like 2 hours after she left, there was water now trickling down the stairs leading up to the front door. That is never a sight you want to see.
So how much is damaged? Have you got carpets or have you got tiles?
Luckily, we have tiles.
Oh, sure.
And
do you still have a housemate?
Yeah.
Yeah, you would have killed her, yeah, right, Ben?
That would have been, yeah.
That warrants some kind of reprimanding.
I was properly so ticked off. But what I'm so glad about is, like, nothing electrical was ruined.
Yeah.
It was just, like, getting the water out of the actual house. But
and if you did have carpets, they would stink. Do you have anything that was
like
soft
that
got wet?
There's, like, little rugs and stuff. Oh, so trust Sia to have, like, I think there were, like, I was hanging 3 plush rugs out.
Oh, you were hanging them out?
Oh, well, I had to, like, hang them out because they were all ruined.
I thought you were hanging them out.
My bar stools are now ruined, which I liked, so.
Damn, that sucks.
I hate adulting.
See, it's much easier to live at your parents' house and kind of.
Honestly.
Oh, there isn't a day that goes by that I don't have something in my house I have to fix, I have to repair, I have to buy, I have to change, I have to. Not a day. There's a crack in the wall, and the next day you get back, and one of the windows looks like it's not. It needs to be repainted. Everything.
It's a disaster.
You'd much rather just rent property from someone, or even better, just live under someone else's roof and let them pay for it.
Stay with your parents as long as possible. Yeah. To everyone else who's coping with adulting, like, okay, you may roll your eyes at us, but I'm just like,
I think that's a serious thing. Having your place flooded is a very serious thing. That's a shitty thing to happen.
And I can't imagine if there was more damage and, like, we owned the place, then that'd be bigger fish to fry. But don't you, like, hate now when a light bulb goes out and then you realize how hard to reach it is? Yeah. You're like, oh shit, no, like, I don't just need a chair, but I need a ladder corner. And
I changed 3 light bulbs yesterday. I know your pain. And that's
and
that's
all go out together. It's annoying.
Well, this is my point. This is why everybody laughs at me when they see how many light bulbs I stock up on. So I'll go to whatever shop it is, and I will buy 10 to 15 of every light bulb in my house.
Mm.
Some I go through faster than others. And then I have them. So when they all go, like they do at the same time, I have them. Some people are like, oh no, I'll just get the one when it goes. I'll get the other when that one goes. Then you're going backwards and forwards to the shop for one light bulb. Don't be stupid.
Then there's one that's a screw on, and the other that's a pin, and you thought you had the screw in one, but it's...
Welcome to these. These are real problems that bedevil people every day.
But how often are you people replacing light bulbs? I mean... Aren't you buying those energy-saving ones that last you a year?
I've got some of those.
Yeah, Mubs, they're just throwing away a kiloliter of water. Saving the environment is not exactly high on the agenda here.
I can't remember the last time I bought light bulbs. It was last year sometime, because these things just go.
Amanda, you also seldom use them because your house is dark and menacing and difficult to escape from.
Mostly my buddy's got red lights all over.
You basically arrive there, you put your cell phone light on so it's not too... startled inhabitants.
Amanda thinks this is the most boring conversation she's ever heard in her life.
It's just like making me want to stay at home longer, because sometimes I get these like urges where I'm like, I need to get out of here.
Believe me, do you care about washing?
Only in December.
Yeah. Do you care about what's to eat tonight? If you're not going out for eating, then do you ever care about meals?
Gareth, I cook every night.
Oh, you cook. Okay, yeah. So then that's one
thing
you do.
So that I do care about a little bit.
All right. And do you make a mess when you cook steak like I do?
Yeah, just like I also find like the smell and the oil like stays in the air. And then like everything stinks. So yeah, I try not to do those things.
Mm. And then What other things are there benefits to staying at home with your parents?
Zero. Guys, zero. We have to move on. It's like when the bus gets to the stop, you don't stay on the bus for another run.
Amanda's 18. Like Amanda's 18. She should stay as long as she can.
No, but when you get off the bus, life happens.
No, when something's not working, like a light bulb or DSP or whatever, it's not my problem. I just lie on my bed and I hear my mom and my dad like, ah. And I'm just like, okay.
Yes,
Amanda. She lets me know when it's working.
Yes. She just hears it happening somewhere in the background.
I think you have, and I'm not even exaggerating, I think you still have a good 6 years of staying at home.
Oh, yeah.
I think I'll, yeah, maybe longer.
Listen, there are people in America who are embarrassed, but they're still staying with their parents in their 40s.
Yeah, and they'll all be interviewed because of the great lives they've had and the amazing things they've done in their fields of interest.
Hey, you can at least, like, you know, graduate to moving into your granny cottage or something. I think there's nothing wrong.
No, you know what? As long as you make it work for you, Amanda. So, for example, one of my friends stayed at home for longer than what his peers thought was acceptable.
Mm-hmm.
But what he was doing on the side was he was putting away half of his salary away each month.
Oh, that's clever.
Yeah, mm-hmm.
And then he was able to move straight from home and buy his own house.
Mm-hmm.
And he had his cars paid off. And, you know, so as long as you make it work for you in the long run, then that's not a problem.
But it's not that easy. Like, my mom says you have to pay rent, which I think is ridiculous. You know, no.
That's just a way of trying to teach you responsibility.
Yeah. I can't remember the last time I cooked my own proper meal. My mother's cooking of standard.
Yeah, but I've never done that. I cook what's absolutely necessary. If I have people coming over, maybe I'll make an effort.
No.
But otherwise, no. Why would you? These people who think that it's an occasion every evening.
Ooh.
Good luck to them. It's a lot of work.
Mm-mm.
That's a huge amount of work. And if you want to go and buy the ingredients and sit slaving over a hot stove for hours and hours. You go for it. I'm very proud of you. Well done. I'm not in there.
And I think it was probably 2 weekends ago when I went down to Durban for the long weekend. I actually did not feel guilty for using my parents' home as a store as well. Because I have like 40,000 towels, so I took some towels.
And you took them, brought them back home.
Oh, yeah.
Well, you needed them for the flood.
Yeah, then I was like, I actually need, you know, a few fitted sheets wouldn't hurt. I took some Tupperware as well.
Help yourself.
This is the life now, guys. Adulting.
Help yourself. You didn't tell them you'd taken all that stuff. You just took it, right?
Well, it kind of became obvious when I was rummaging through the pantry. I was taking some tin can food and stuff. So, oh well.
I tell you, between mom's green grocery and the bank of dad, you're sorted.
Done.
Yeah. It's a good place to go.
You're sorted.
All right. I had a whole list of things that I wanted to talk about, and then I left it at home. Whoa. How disorganized am I? I usually keep notes in a little notebook, and, you know, I'm so organized a lot of the time. Just clearly this morning I'm not. And I got out of bed this morning, and I was just, everything I put on, I just felt like it wasn't working. It took me like, I was like a girl this morning.
I was just going to say that.
10 fucking minutes. And I still don't know that this works, so I just grabbed this one jacket on my way out because it was just the jersey, and I thought, oh, it's not going to be warm enough. Oh, what a mess. And I don't have anything important, like hugely important on the agenda today. I don't have to meet with anyone, or it's just here and a couple of meetings at the office. That's it.
Well, then you've done well.
Well.
Welcome to our lives.
Thank you, but I've got 5 pairs of jeans, probably. I've thrown out all the ones that don't work, that don't fit properly, that are old, blah, 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 blah. Not, mm-hmm. not old, but I wouldn't wear them anymore.
Yeah.
So I don't have that many options anymore. It used to be very, very difficult. I'd go, oh, I've got these 15 pairs of jeans to choose from. And then I realized I'm just making my life complicated and horrible.
Mm-hmm.
So there are only 5 to choose from. So that part was easy. Then I got a T-shirt. So I need something that's comfortable. It's winter. I'm not dressing for appearance in summer. I mean, in winter. Summer, yes. Because your T-shirt's going to be under something anyway, right?
Yeah, then partially.
You could have last night's steak stains in there. No, we wouldn't know.
I wouldn't do. Then you look for something warm, because All you really care about in winter is being warm. A lot of people dress, I mean, Mubs always dresses nicely. I don't care as much. So I'm looking for a warm top, and I find one, and I'm so happy, and then I look in the mirror and I go, oh, Jesus, that looks ridiculous.
Oh, no.
But I'd like to know what, when you say that nothing was working today, what does that mean for a guy? Because, you know, with us girls, it's a case of, ooh, maybe the skirt is just a little bit too short to be appropriate, or, oh, it really isn't in my head. My ass is definitely getting fat. Or, oh, I really need to turn it up today because Philemon is definitely going to come into the office today and I've got to look the part. Mm-hmm. So when, for guys, what is it when something is not working?
No, it's just you.
Because for us, it's complicated.
You just, you look in the mirror, you go, ah, it looks ridiculous. You go back to the cupboard. Is there anything I'm leaving out?
I think guys generally don't want to look fat or old. And if you have clothing that makes you look either one of those two things.
Yeah, or stupid. Fat, old, or stupid.
And you don't want to draw too much attention to yourself.
But you also don't want to look like a slob.
Yeah.
Oh, but, no. But are there ever times when you do want to draw attention to yourself? Because for us, you know, when we're trying to reel them in.
Yeah.
Then we want to draw attention to ourselves. Like, they must be able to tell the difference between me and Amanda and Boomy and every other woman in this building.
Sure. I guess it depends on body type, though. You get people who just concede that they're not drawing attention to themselves other than the fact that they might want food. And then you get attention like...
What?
I mean, if you're of a very frumpy size, right? You basically... Yeah. You have certain intentions that are out of the window now. It's like it just doesn't exist. So you dress mostly for function.
Or if you have ginger hair.
Oh. I mean.
And then if you've really got a good looking body and you do that kind of stuff, obviously you dress differently because you've got different intentions. It's like, well, you know, I've got great biceps or.
Like, check out my pecs.
It's exactly like that. I mean, I've been on various scales of this, although I've never been big, but I've been unflattering, I guess. And yeah, these things do go through your mind.
How are you feeling at the moment, Mr. Positive and Happy? Because the other day you were saying to me, I've never felt so lazy and fat and stupid. Or you said something to the effect of, like, you're not happy with the way that you feel at the moment. You said you're just grumpy about it.
Yeah, I feel much better. But, like, I'm going
what
back
happened?
Into this. Well, you know, I started that new challenge recently. So, like, my body's aching, but all in the right sort of ways.
What's this challenge? Remind me.
So, by November, I need to run a sub-12-second 100 meters.
What's a sub...
What? Is
what?
That means he has to run how far? 100 meters?
What do you mean in English? I've used all the different things that I've said.
No,
sub-12 seconds, 100 meters.
That's higher English.
I was going to say, explain it in fat people speak.
There is 100 meters, and I need to move my body with my legs over that 100 meters in less than 12 seconds.
Oh. In less than 12 seconds.
So that's basically,
some insane bullshit.
Well,
yeah, how fast is he? He's
9.58 is the world record.
Okay, so you...
But that's only different. He's Jamaican.
Yeah, no,
and
no.
In his 20s,
I'm thinking, though,
a white in my 30s.
There's 2 seconds difference, really. Really?
He's 9.58 for 100 meters.
Yeah, look, the difference between 9.58 and 9.68 is a lifetime. The difference between Usain Bolt and me is a species time.
Yeah. No, that's true.
But the whole thing is, in order to get to a point where I can run in that certain time, my body is going to be in amazing shape. Mm. But think of it like a sports car with aerodynamics, right?
So you're trying to get really lean, and you're trying to be super fit, and it's about breathing, and it's about...
Lean and explosively powerful.
Leg muscle power, right.
Okay, yeah, it's the business. So my legs now are rock hard and just killing it, and then I just need to work a bit more upper body strength.
Ben, apart from just making sure you don't freeze to death on your bike, you know, that being a factor for what you wear, how long does it take you to choose what to wear?
About 2 minutes. No, not even. I just have general things I go to because it's slightly dark when I get dressed because if I turn the big light on, then I think it's inconsiderate to Daniela who's sleeping. Although now we've got this new like heater, which is very, very bright. Meowsers loves it. She just goes in front of it. And that heater alone lights the whole room. In a nice fire kind of hue.
So you don't even have to turn on the lights.
No.
Could you imagine getting dressed in 2 minutes, Mama?
Wow.
I could.
See, it's like, I couldn't do that.
2 minutes is just my underwear and sock choice.
Oh, boy.
Yeah, I don't put a lot of effort into that.
Because you have to think about it, like, imagine if, like, my pants were to rip or if I were to pass out and paramedics needed to, like, cut my pants open.
Do you
like,
think about this stuff every time you get dressed?
Absolutely.
Amanda, you do as well?
Yes. You think about it. Like, gross if something happens.
Yeah, but sure. But, like, every part of your underwear or sock should be presentable, right? It's not like you've got the ones
she
you
says,
don't want to
she
be
says
seen.
You don't
want to
look gross. Yeah. No, listen, I just throw away underwear that's
exactly.
old. You just throw it away. After 3-4 months of having it in your drawer, you really need to clear it out.
I mean, do you really have undergarments that you don't want to be seen in?
No, it's like different. You know, there's also like, oh, you might be out, you know, in the middle of your day, then you get that call, so you meet up with someone, but you need to look good, you know.
It's like, I'm not dying in a thong, but I'm not exactly being seen in it on Friday night either.
No, but without Friday night you do. Yeah,
sorry, without it on
yeah,
a Friday
exactly,
night.
Exactly. All of these different factors. It's
there is
important.
So much. There's a reason. It's a mystery we ever leave the house, isn't it?
God.
Be
so
grateful when you see people look good for you.
It is so complicated.
Yeah.
But no one's ever said, sorry, I'm late. I had an absolute shit fit trying to decide what to wear. Because there's the truth, right?
You don't
People
say, that.
Say traffic. They say, I don't know, the hair's on fire. But they'll never say, oh, I just battled to find an outfit.
I've definitely been late because of deciding what to wear. Like to a meeting or to dinner or something.
Yeah, that's because you're always late.
I think the longest thing like to choose like what can make you late is your shoes and your underwear.
Really?
I think it's your shoes and your underwear. Like clothes you can just...
Yeah, there may be that. Someone has this bit of advice for us. For me it's simpler. If the clothing has a hole, only then it doesn't work. So it has a hole in it. If it's broken. If it's broken, you mustn't wear it. Otherwise, anything goes.
That's practical advice.
Good morning, guys. I was listening to Friday's Casper Radio Show podcast where Hannes and Gavin stood in for Casper. They make an excellent combo to host a podcast. You should organize that.
Yeah, those guys are funny.
Eloise with some advice for us this morning. Very nice.
So I spoke to Gavin about something last week. And you know, I used to think I was petty up until I met Gavin. So Gavin, you know, has worked in PR and
Gavin's a bitch. He's a real bitch. He is a mean bitch. What is he petty about now?
So there's this unspoken fight that he's having with a certain friend of his who he believes is a bit of a show off.
Yeah.
So I don't know who the friend took a selfie with, but was some little popular personality here in South Africa. Gavin was like, you know what, you are not going to show me up. So every single day Gavin has been changing his profile picture of like one major celeb after the other. Currently it's Charlize Theron and him like taking a little picture, and I think like, how petty is this? And I wanted to actually find out how long it's going to take, but for him it's like
is
a
this
thing
on,
now
on Facebook, Instagram or Twitter?
On WhatsApp for his friends.
Oh, what? Oh,
yeah, right. You know how it started?
How?
Gavin had a picture with Oprah.
Yeah, that was kind of a big deal. For obvious reasons. And
Gavin
it's not
sat
just,
next to Oprah and she's like, oh, I hate this guy.
And it wasn't even just like a, oh, they were at an event picture situation.
Right.
It was Gavin, the big O,
so,
walking
so he,
hand
to,
Let hand
me understand.
In
WhatsApp, he communicates with a lot of people on WhatsApp, clearly. It's not just this one person.
Yeah.
But in order to piss this one person off, he keeps changing his profile picture to someone famous.
Yeah.
And he thinks this person cares.
That's the level of pettiness.
And maybe
but I get that.
Maybe this person does care.
Yeah.
Wow.
Every single day, there's been someone different.
Wow. So it's like a... It's a bit of a...
Showing you up.
Yeah, I'm better than you situation.
God.
The amount of trouble that people go to put other people down. Or to find their place in the hierarchy. I mean...
See?
So I... Is this other friend famous?
No.
So he's competing with a nobody.
Imagine said you.
That's
I said yeah.
That's cruel, right? But that seems cruel. Like,
but you see, probably...
This person's never going to meet these... The only reason Gavin met these people is because he worked for a publication that introduced him to
and
them. It's not like
this person's probably excited. Like,
it's not, but it's not like Gavin knows these people personally and he's friends with them and he has their phone numbers. So he's... So if his friend breaks it down, it's just as stupid coming from Gavin.
It's probably a petty friend as well, though.
Jeez.
It's a circle of pettiness.
Wow. Well, I'll tell you what.
Which is kind of my life.
Okay, fine. If you want to get involved in that, count me out. I got some feedback on Eastranders.
Oh, okay.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah, a girl I know from the East Rand heard the show on Monday, and she heard the first Eastrander, and she said she knows him, first of all. Because everyone in the East Rand, it's like a soap opera.
The
everyone
Arabian
knows.
Goggles, dude.
Yeah, that's, Arabian Goggles, yeah, dude.
That's the only way I'll remember.
So everyone in the East Rand knows each other is the first thing. Mm. The second thing is that she now wants to rebut these stories about the East Rand. She's going to send me a version of what she and her other friend, these two girls, they're both from the East Rand. They have things to say about how the East Rand is actually fantastic and we're missing out. And she said, if you don't play it, I'm gonna get aggro. So
yeah, if you don't play it, I'll prove your stereotypes right.
Exactly.
Jeez.
So she's gonna send me a...
We have all of these East Randers coming out of the woodwork now.
I think for like a team building thing, you guys need to come to the East Rand.
I've been to the East Rand.
And
are you kidding?
A good time, didn't
I've
you?
I've been to all over Bedford View. I've been to the Vale. I've been to Boksburg because I did gigs there once. No. Don't put your look down your nose at Boksburg. There's still parties that happen there that are worth going to. You know it. You've been to them.
Yeah,
don't you give me shit.
Eat.
Yeah, exactly.
Does going to the airport count as the East Rand?
Yes, it does.
Okay.
It does, yeah.
Then there we go.
But I spent a lot of my 20s DJing in the East Rand. I've done my time, Amanda. I don't know if I'm gonna fly back there.
Mubs, would you go to the East Rand?
Yes. Oh. I go to parts of the East Rand often.
Yeah, good
I've
people
got
come from there.
Family in Springs.
Uh-huh.
My mother originally is from Guatemala, which is in the East.
Yes, Guatemala.
Yeah. So I have roots.
Oh, so you're technically
no. She's totally. She's 100. She's like Jennifer Lopez said once. I am 100% Puerto Rico and 100% the Bronx.
No, Sia, I'm a free stater because.
Hot scolopad.
Because you know how it is. Whatever your dad is, that's what you are.
Hot scolopad. All right, it's time for us to get into the news. Let's not mess around. Everybody, it is Mabali's time, and this is brought to you by Colcacchio Pizzeria. So let's find out what's going on with all the major headlines, all the things that you need to know. If you get to work today and you only know these things, people will go, oh my God, they're so well informed. That's our point every morning, to try and inform you.
You guys spoke about the apparent airport spotter crime syndicate that's kind of running things at OR Tambo International.
Oh, I saw this on Carte Blanche on
Sunday.
Yes,
it was first revealed by Carte Blanche, and now other news outlets have been picking up on the story.
Where did you mention it? The guy who picked me up in my Uber from the airport on Sunday, when some other guy walked past and said hello, because he obviously recognized me from TV or whatever, this guy said, do you know that dude? And I said, no. And he said, uh-oh. So I said, no, well, you might have recognized me, which is what I think happened. He said, well, if someone does that normally, they could be trying to follow us. So,
oh, yeah.
Because that happens, right?
Well, what Carte Blanche did was they did an investigation, and apparently it is an up-and-running syndicate. Sure. So the airport, OR Tambo International, have now issued a statement following the most recent in a spate of attacks in and around the airport. The latest one involving a couple from the DRC who were attacked and robbed after taking an Uber to their hotel in what has been deemed a follow-home robber.
Sure.
So what happened was Carte Blanche got a hold of an alleged spotter who opted to remain anonymous. And he detailed how airport insiders who are known as these spotters are helping criminals identify tourists, businessmen, and even locals with valuable luggage and goods as they pass through the airport.
Mm-hmm.
Now, these insiders, according to the spotter, are spread across a variety of people working in different roles at the airport. It could be from the car rental agents, it could be a porter, it could even be a member of the cleaning staff. What they do is they watch and identify people coming from high shopping destinations as potential targets. So, your trips from Dubai are attracting a lot of attention.
Okay, all right.
But I could just be laying over.
Listen, they don't care. Their job is to watch you, to monitor you, to observe you, and to see whether there's anything of value that you have on your person that they could then take advantage of. Oof. And apparently these spotters can earn anything between 300 to 4,000 rand, depending on the value of the goods that get stolen.
Jeez.
So AXA have now issued a statement confirming that, yes, this past Tuesday it had met with various stakeholders involved in the safety and security of the airport operations. And essentially, all they can do is say, please be vigilant. You know, there are a lot of people coming in and out of that airport on a daily basis. So this affects all of us, essentially.
Hmm.
But yeah.
What a scary thing. You know, you get home after a long trip and you're excited to see your family again. You're excited to get home. Meanwhile, there are these guys waiting in the wings to swoop in and grab whatever stuff you've got in your bag.
Yeah.
You see, what makes it more frightening is that this isn't just, you know, your average robber who's standing out in the middle of, you know, in the shadows somewhere or in the parking lot.
These are professionals.
You have no idea who it is within the entire system. So it could be security inside. It could be, you know, the people checking the machines, the scanners. Like, it's scary. Man, this is a lot of work to, like, you know, get under control.
Yeah.
Damn.
Now, South Africa, there we go. South Africa's neighboring countries have now officially suspended poultry imports with immediate effect following outbreaks of the avian flu in parts of the country. Zimbabwe, Namibia, and Botswana say that they will no longer buy chicken from us.
I love that Zim are suddenly thumbing their noses up at us. Don't you love that? That these fuckers, they'll take any opportunity to to make it look like they've got some kind of high ground over us.
Now, this follows...
Zimbabwe. Fine, don't buy our chickens. Who are you going to buy them from then?
Well, I don't know who they're going to buy them from, but aren't we getting our chickens from the US anyway? I mean...
We get a lot of crap. We get from Brazil, from the US.
Yeah.
That's the one that's injected with plenty of salt and made to weigh more than it does.
Yes. So this follows a second case of avian flu. This most recent one coming out of Mpumalanga, as was revealed by the Agriculture Department a few days ago. That farm in Mpumalanga has been placed under quarantine, and authorities say that over 25,000 of the infected birds will have to be culled. And it is the second farm to test positive for the contagious H5N8 strain.
Huh.
Earlier this week, government announced a ban on the sale of live hens until the department is able to assess the extent of the outbreak. And now neighboring countries are saying that, okay, well, I mean, if that's the case, then we don't want your chicken. But I mean, how does this affect us? Like, should we not be eating our own chicken, Department of Agriculture? Department of Health. I don't hear you guys saying anything of that nature.
Can I tell you something? I don't think anyone in government at the moment is really functioning. They're all so wrapped up in what's going to happen with the president. And I don't think any of them are doing a damn thing. Dudu Mieni pitched up yesterday in Parliament. There was no one else with her. None of the board pitched up with her. She came in solo. The deputy finance minister couldn't have been bothered to pitch up. I don't think government has any function at all at the moment. They are not doing a goddamn thing. Nothing. So Department of Health, you're asking for the Department of Health to come in? Please. Fast asleep.
Oh, seeing Dudu Mieni on the news yesterday made me laugh so much.
Wearing this bright yellow outfit. You know that she caught British Airways?
Some people having a go at her for that.
She caught a British Airways flight to her meeting with Parliament.
She should catch a Mango flight, sit at the back, and keep quiet.
Well, I'll tell you what the South African Cabin Crew Association, they couldn't have been very happy with seeing Dudu Mieni on, you know, appearing in Parliament yesterday. In fact, according to them, they have been unhappy for the longest time. SACA, that's who they're known as. They say that SAA is actually a profitable organization. The only problem is that it is being undermined by looters. So SACA officials have tabled a document containing figures and names of companies that are allegedly involved in criminal activities. They have now said that they are going to be laying charges against the airliner. They briefed the media yesterday. The organization's Zazi Mugambi saying, we have no other choice because something has to be done at South African Airways. It's time that issues around corruption at SAA be addressed. The document that they tabled highlights alleged irregular expenditure worth billions, and it lists a number of companies that are believed to be working in cahoots with the airline. Now, the organization's treasurer, Gift Bilangulu, said that irregular expenditure at SAA amounts to at least 1.8 billion rand. They have also said that the association is they've exhausted all their options at its disposal to get the matter heard. Apparently, these guys have written to ministers. They've written to ex-minister of finance. They wrote to the board. They wrote them countless letters, but not a single one of those letters were responded to, and nobody bothered to even hear them out in terms of their grievances.
I'm telling you, no one in government's doing any work right now because they're all worried about the leadership battle. Nobody's doing anything.
Which I suppose is now why the South African Cabin Crew Association say that they're going to be laying charges.
Yeah, guys, I'm sorry to say this, but you're on your own. If you're looking for government to do anything in the next 3 months, forget about it. It's not going to happen. We need to wrestle the administration of this country away from these politicians. They are going to sink us into the pit. And this downgrade that is looming is very, very serious. Songezo Zibi put up a frightening excerpt from some economist's kind of forecast of what is going to happen if the other rating agencies downgrade our local currency. We will no longer meet the inclusion criteria for the Barclays Group Index. We would be expelled from that index. That would have an immediate disinvestment impact on South Africa of approximately 39 billion rand. If both Moody's investors and S&P Global were to downgrade the local currency rating further, South Africa would no longer meet the inclusion criteria for Citibank World Index. This would have an immediate disinvestment impact on South African bonds of 100 billion rand. South Africa's current account deficit is largely financed by non-resident portfolio flows. That means people who don't live here. Right? If these further downgrades were to occur, and South Africa is expelled from both the Barclays Group Index and the Citibank World Index, approximately 139, that I've just explained, billion rand would be immediately disinvested from South Africa. That amount significantly exceeds our current account deficit for 2017, which currently sits at 91.5 billion. Do you know what that means?
In layman's terms,
we owe more than we have, and there is going to be a disinvestment. In other words, even though we already owe more than we have, more will be taken out, which will put us at a greater deficit and will affect everyone in this country horribly. Interest rates will go sky high. The rand will lose all of its value. This is a big, big looming disaster. And there is no one in government who's able to deal with this. Don't look at Malusi Gigaba and think he knows what the hell this means, because he doesn't. He's been in the job for a couple of weeks. He has no idea. He's absolutely not qualified to be sorting this problem out for us. And he's the one the president's chosen to do it. We're in big trouble, people. I hate to say it. I hate to spoil your morning. But that's the truth. So Songezo Zibi, the former editor of Business Day, with that information today. Let's get to Ben and see what's going on in the sport. Maybe, just maybe, there's some good news there that'll help us to feel a little bit better about ourselves. First, we need the important television sports intro, which Ben can't start without, and then his music. Right, Ben?
That's correct, Gareth. And the microphone, we're all set. The Lady Proteas, the SA women's cricket team.
I'm sorry.
They'll be taking on the New Zealand women's cricket team today.
You still haven't decided what to call them.
Well, Wikipedia says they're the Proteas, but come on. You can't call them the same name as the other guys. Ooh. I'm not saying it because they're lesser teams. It's just that there's some negative connotations around the Proteas and World Cups.
Yeah.
And then some people will go, oh, they're not playing the World Cup, you doers. They're playing test matches. But then you've got to say, yes, the ladies. See, people are very angry. So they'll play the New Zealand ladies today. and that'll be at 11:30 South African time. The SA ladies did win their first match against Pakistan and raring to go in this one. In other news of a South African nature, it seems that Warren Whiteley's groin is more stuffed than we thought.
Oh, but how come we're so involved in his groin?
Well, Gareth, we thought it was just a minor tear. A strain, if that. Turns out, no, it's a very big tear. And his groin is so problematic right now that he will not play the rest of the Super Rugby season. And to put a further strain on that groin, it looks like he'll miss the first two matches of the Rugby Championship as well, which would suggest that Evan Etzebeth will have an extended stay as the BOC captain.
Okay.
More news of just not being your best, Pat Lambie. Now, we know that he's just, well, he gonked out so hard last year. He's still showing symptoms of concussion. And that is a long, long time to still be showing symptoms of concussion. So people have been saying, well, maybe that's it. Maybe Pat must call the day now before he starts drooling at dinner. But some people believe that he might just need a little bit more rest and he'd be fine. Some people even speculating maybe an extended trip down to Japan where it's not quite as intense. That could be a way forward.
I don't think you should take your life in your hands. How old is Pat Lambie?
Well, I don't know. Pat Lambie's been like 24 for the last 10 years. He's 26. But like, you look at Pat Lambie and he's forever 24.
Okay, but
he is 26.
But he's taken some serious knocks to the head.
Yes.
There are a couple of major injuries that he's had over the last while. And you don't realize, like, have you ever seen these rugby players post the age of 50? If they're alive, if they're alive, they look terrible.
They do.
And they do drool at dinner.
Yeah.
And it's a problem. Well, like, if you let your kid play rugby for South Africa... No,
I just got the visuals. I'm sorry.
This
let
is a
your
problem.
Kid play for South Africa. So, like, yeah, Mom, I made the Springboks. Can I play?
No.
Well, I don't know.
No. I mean, if you let your kid play rugby and then he ends up playing for South Africa, you are possibly looking at a couple of neck injuries and some head injuries along the way. It's a contact sport. You know what you're getting into.
Yeah.
So all I'm saying is, if you do this, understand that there are possible costs at the end of the day. That's all.
Completely. Right. But imagine back in the day, Gareth, when people didn't care too much about concussions. You were just called a moffy if you didn't play on after a big tackle.
Yeah. Now, get up, man. What's wrong with you? But I'm seeing triple.
Yeah. Well, they just tackle all of them.
Yeah.
You know, that was what used to happen in rugby. So now there are these concussion protocols in place, but that didn't happen. So if you are in society today and you see someone walking into a wall a little bit slow with doing the most basic thing, there's a good chance that person was a rugby hero but doesn't have any medical advice.
Yeah.
Because this is what happens. And it's not just here. You know, in the NFL in America, they're now having special helmets made to basically work out if your brain is getting completely compressed and broken.
And those guys are at least wearing helmets. I mean, with rugby players,
they don't wear
players,
helmets.
They're completely naked.
They smash into each other at speed.
Well, they do. But the thing is, NFL, because you wear a helmet, you smash into someone differently and you use your head, which is stupid. If NFL didn't have helmets, it'd be a much safer sport.
But also in football, don't you just tackle anyone, regardless of whether they have the ball or not?
You can just get stuck in, yeah.
You see, that's
so you
worse.
Can block runners and all that kind of stuff. Rugby is a far more civilized sport. Far more clever sport.
And we use the term civilized very lightly.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, going on to more things of a less civilized nature, FIFA. They've had a document leaked. The Garcia report is now known.
Uh-oh.
And it's basically, well, blown the cover on the Qatar and Russia bids. There's so much dodginess here. So much so that Sepp Blatter is almost like a voice of reason amongst all of this. But if you look through the people that basically voted for Qatar and Russia to have the World Cups, 13 out of 22 of these guys are either banned or being indicted by the states.
Jeez.
These guys are so dodgy. And the other ones they haven't included there, they're probably retired on the back of the fact that they know they're going to get caught. And these are all the people that kind of got stuck in and gave the bids to these two places. Now, Sepp is basically saying, you know, he hates that Michel Platini.
Yes.
They used to be mates, but then they kind of threw each other under the bus.
Yeah.
So, I mean, this report, there's 408 pages, right? FIFA decided they weren't going to, like, release this. And then this Garcia was like, no, screw this. When you guys originally said you're not going to release it, they then released, like, a sanitized 40-pager, which made no sense, had none of the details in. So this guy, because he has ethics, he resigned. He said, screw this. Am I having any part of this? Now the juicy stuff's coming out, and now FIFA's going, oh, no, we totally were going to pull the whole report out. We just were waiting to do it at the right time. So now they've had their hand forced. But one of the great comments of all of this is that Sepp Blatter basically saying that it was Platini's fault that Qatar got the bid.
Yeah, that's nice. You didn't seem too upset when you opened the envelope.
No.
I remember that.
Because the initial agreement was that Russia would get 2018 and the United States would get 2022. So now people are fanning the flames of speculation here, saying that Platini had dinner with a guy from Qatar, the now ruler, Tamim bin Hamad Al Thani,
yeah,
who they went on to own a PSG, because Qatar's got a big stake in PSG, right? Paris Saint-Germain, the big French football club.
That's right.
And they had dinner prior to the bid, and then, hey presto, Qatar got the bid. Nicolas Sarkozy was also involved
in
this dinner.
It doesn't sound dodgy at all.
Well, when Sepp's sounding like someone you can trust again, that's when you know everything around you is on fire. Huge fire. Other FIFA news, the Confederations Cup, we've got the semi starting today. So Portugal will take on Chile, 8 o'clock South African time, and Germany will take on Mexico at 8 o'clock. Kaizer Chiefs have signed Teenage Hadebe from
Who?
Chicken Inn. Teenage Hadebe from Chicken Inn. The confusing thing is he's 22 years old. So people are going, oh, but he's not a teenager. No, no, his name is Teenage Hadebe.
Oh, wow.
You know, Twitter
is amazing with this kind of stuff.
Some parents just didn't do right by their children.
Yeah, so Teenage will go to Chiefs from the Zimbabwean team Chicken Inn. And you got to think that's a great career move. Huh?
What a terrible name.
But isn't this similar to Nelson Mandela, who just signed to a football club? Somewhere in the world.
Oh, there is a Nelson Mandela.
There is an 18-year-old Nelson Mandela who just signed with Frankfurt, a Balenciaga side from, I'm not even going to try and pronounce the name.
A what side?
Jesus.
From Frankfurt.
You said something else about Balenciaga.
Ben, don't do that.
Bundesliga.
Uh-oh. I mean, come on, it's not the hardest word.
What is that?
Uh-oh. Bundesliga.
That's the one. Yeah, it sort of came up.
Balenciaga. What did you call it?
It's like you
Balenciaga.
I was thinking of Balenciaga.
Yeah, you were thinking of the luxury shopping brand.
Okay, moral of the story is 18-year-old Nelson Mandela plays soccer. Mm. Moving on.
Yeah, moving on to tennis and Serena Williams posed nude for some magazine.
Vanity Fair.
Vanity Fair, yeah, whatever. Oh. That's not really my interest. That's more Sia's interest. Maybe later in the show. But there's big controversy around Serena right now. Not because of her doing, of course, because John McEnroe had some things to say. So John McEnroe, as we all know, right, outspoken, opinionated tennis aficionado. He's a pro. He knows what he's doing. He's got opinions. He shares opinions. That's what happens. What I don't understand in sports, when people ask people who are straight talkers to talk straight, and then they go, how dare you say that,
you bastard,
set fire to your children. So what he said was that Serena, if she were to play in the men's tour, she'd probably be ranked about 700th in the world. Oh, you cannot say that. How dare you, John McEnroe? How dare you? So the context of the whole situation was, right, is that you can't compare the two. People are saying Serena's the greatest tennis player in the world. And John McEnroe is basically qualifying the argument by saying, well, you can't really compare because it's a very different game. Serena's obviously incredible, and he said, and he always has said, that he's a massive fan of Serena. And he said it's just a useless argument. If she were to play in the men's thing, she'd probably ranked about 700th. Now, Serena herself said that she played against Andy Murray, she'd probably lose 6-love, 6-love.
Yep.
Back in around the turn of the century, both Serena and Venus actually took on a guy ranked 200th in the world. So the guy basically played them in consecutive sets. One set Serena, one set Venus, mm-hmm. And he beat them like 6-1, 6-2.
And he was about 200th.
So he was an absolute nobody.
In other words, what McEnroe's saying is not controversial.
No.
It's probably just about right.
It's
biology and science.
Exactly.
Sure. Muscle mass, all that stuff.
But you can't say something like this against Serena.
Well, no, you can't say this in a world where people believe in complete equity and that men are equal to women on every front. They don't look at biology. They don't care about any of that stuff.
Yeah.
It's ridiculous. They think in their world, everybody's going to be the same.
Mm.
And if Serena's the best female tennis player of all time, which she undoubtedly is.
No doubt, yeah.
Then she's got to be as good as the best male tennis player. Well, she's not.
Yeah, look, I really don't think that Serena Williams cares as much as her fans care.
Well, exactly. That's my next point, right? So McEnroe wasn't trying to poke the bear here at all. He was being asked a tennis question. He gave a tennis answer in the context of a greater scheme, which has been blown out of proportion. Serena said, John, I really love you and adore you, but please leave me out of all of your business right now. I'm trying to have a baby.
Well, I mean, exactly.
Which is great. It's exactly what you expect from Serena, because that's what's important to her right now. It is not important to see where she stacks up against men. John McEnroe further went on the conversation saying, for some reason, people want me to play against Serena for years now. Not Roger Federer, not Nadal. They've wanted me, some old has-been, to play against Serena. Donald Trump even offered him money, a great sum of money for this to happen. And all John McEnroe is saying, guys, just leave me the hell alone, right? These are my comments. I have no interest in playing Serena.
Right.
And I think we should leave it at that.
Yeah.
And I think John McEnroe is now being pulled to pieces by, obviously, work, Twitter, and everything else. The guy has no beef with Serena. He has nothing but absolute respect for him. For her, sorry.
And Serena absolutely does not care.
And Serena does not care about tennis right now.
She's got how many Grand Slams to her name?
Right.
The most.
She absolutely does not care.
Yeah, exactly.
All right, we've got to move on to Anthea, people. Thank you very much, Ben. Thank you, Mubs. Thank you, Serena. Thank you, John McEnroe. It's time. Let's go.
She works hard for the money.
Yes, she works hard.
So hard for it, honey.
And it's harder than ever to work for that money. Oh, Anthea, all I see is bleeding everywhere. I'm so miserable about the economy at the moment. I'm so miserable about this government and their just mismanagement of the economy. Is there any silver lining on this horrible cloud?
Well, we did have a positive day overall yesterday, if that helps you, very short term. But I'm afraid you're right, you know. This has been the worst month. It's wiped off all the gains on the JSC that we made this year so far. So, and in fact, I think just over 3 years, the JSC is pretty much flat. If it helps, at least our hashtag invest portfolios have been positive.
Good.
Of course, depending on when you got in. So if you'd started right at the beginning, you'd be fine. If you started just this month, then you've probably seen a bit of a decline in your portfolio.
Right.
But you know what we say, it's not about timing the market, it's about time in the market. So, and you've got to sit through the volatility, I'm afraid. And what do we do? Change government? I'm just throwing it out there.
Okay, I read a little piece by Songeza Zibi earlier about what it means if we get these downgrades, if the Barclays Index and the Citibank Index drop us out. What kind of a disinvestment will take place? 139 billion rand immediately will be taken out of South Africa. And our current account deficit is around 90 billion. So that will exceed that by some margin, which is not a good number. It means that we're pushing ourselves into debt. We're devaluing our currency. I don't see any way out of that hole.
So, yes, you're saying that because we will, if we get downgraded to junk status, that we don't qualify to be in those indices, right?
Correct.
Global bond indices.
Correct.
But actually, Gareth, so far this year, net, I think it is 55 billion rand has already flown off the JSE from foreigners. So foreigners already own 25%, and that number is just decreasing because they're not investing in South Africa. So it doesn't happen only when we get downgraded. It's already happening.
Oh my God.
Yeah. I mean, there's so much going on at the moment, but at least I see yesterday the Reserve Bank has officially filed an application to the High Court to challenge the public protector's recommendation to change their mandate. So I guess that's a good thing. My impression of the Reserve Bank is actually that they've been waiting, that they knew this was coming or they suspected it might, and they've been preparing themselves. I honestly believe so, because they reacted very quickly and they know how important it is for the Reserve Bank to be an independent institution, because really what the Reserve Bank does is keep Treasury in check.
Mm.
And we need that because already I think spending on these SOEs and all the money going down the drain and corruption, it's a huge problem.
All right.
Anyway,
what did you want to tell us before I started on my own trajectory?
So as I said about the JSE, we were up about 0.33% yesterday. Resources had a fabulous day. The index was up almost 3%. Spot iron ore was up over 5% yesterday, which is nice. It's had a nice little bounce. You know, it's come off quite a bit in the last, I would say, 6 months or so. And then, of course, some of the shares with exposure to the metal had a nice little rally. Kumba Iron Ore was up 8%. Anglo American was up 5.5%. Unfortunately, the banks couldn't hold on to the previous day's gains. Perhaps that's because the rand was so much weaker yesterday. In fact, it's heading straight for that 13 to the US dollar level. Global markets mostly lower yesterday, and this is despite the oil price having a little bit of a rally. I think there's some short covering going on in the oil price, but the major indices were all dragged lower by tech stocks. And this is because Google was hit with a record-breaking 2.4 billion euro fine yesterday by the EU Commission in an antitrust case. So they've also ordered Google to change their practices to include promoting the shopping services of its competitors, which is a funny kind of thing. Or it's said to be fined up to 5% of Google's worldwide daily turnover. And for the record, Google's annual turnover is around $90 billion. So that's huge. I think this is a real issue. As tech companies become larger and more powerful, you know, we as consumers or users, we want our privacy. We want fair practices. But not only are the tech companies absolutely enormous, but they're also flexible. So, so I think it's just getting harder for governments to keep up with regulation. And yeah, like, I'm not sure what to say. Like, for us, it's, if you look at a tech stock and whether you want to be invested in tech, it's a deterrent because you know that the regulation will change. But at the same time, I almost think you need a global regulatory body. But then again, with all this anti-globalization movements and rhetoric going on, I can't imagine that happening very quickly. So I think for now, companies rule.
But don't you also get the idea that a lot of these companies, it's kind of like with MTN in Nigeria, the minute the government feels a bit of a pinch, they start fining these people. It's almost capricious. They find a reason to, because they can't make money and they aren't able to generate, you know, governments are not profitable enterprises by definition. They have to extract taxes from people who are producing, and then they have to spend that money on things that usually are not particularly beneficial to society anyway. I'm being cynical, but it seems to me that they seem to generate a fine out of nowhere whenever they find that there's a bit of money lying around.
I think that there's definitely that part of the story, but then aren't governments also supposed to be protecting, I don't know, their electorate or their kind of the people who elected them? So I don't. It is a difficult one. Yeah, I don't know where I feel how I feel about this, and on which side of the coin I fall. Because you kind of want free markets, but at the same time you want regulation so that people don't abuse the system.
Mm. Okay. I'm just starting to think that there are governments all over the world, the EU in this case, who are trying to extract money from private enterprises because they just smell that there's a bit of cash lying around. That's the feeling I get.
And then, of course, the other problem with Google and a bunch of these other big tech companies is because they're global now, they tend to evade tax. So they set up in tax-efficient locations, and then they don't pay tax where the actual sales were.
I don't see why that's any government's business. In fact, there should be a place somewhere in the world where companies can register and not have to pay tax. I don't see how any of them have to be a part of some country and their problems. I mean, if you're
so in that regard, I agree with you.
You know, this is why we have tax havens, is because most companies are set up by people who want to make a success. They want to make a product. They want to sell that product. They have no interest in fueling some government's tanks. Why should they? And why should governments think that they have an automatic right to everybody's money?
Yeah.
This is philosophical. It's not really something that I should make your problem, Anthea.
No, it's a good debate, actually. It's a very good debate to have.
I think governments are on their way out. Honestly, in about 50 years' time, we won't recognize this system of taxation or government. But by then, you and I will be dead.
50 years? I don't think so. I'll be alive.
Sia will be alive.
Yes, Anthea. I'll be there with you.
Thanks, Sia. You may be a bit younger than me, but I'll still be alive. Okay, and then back to our market. We added two shares to the hashtag invest portfolio yesterday. Kudos to you, Gareth. You suspected I was going to trade the Exaros. Uh-huh. I couldn't confirm, though. You know how this works, right? I am regulated by the FSB, and so I cannot go public until the share has been added to all my client portfolios. So well done you for spotting that. So that's the first one we added. And then the second share we added is Telkom. Now, this is not necessarily a long-term investment trade or investment, but this is how the story goes. So the share has come off quite a bit in the last couple of weeks. On the 5th of June, it was trading around 80 Rand a share. It's now below 64 Rand. To me, it feels a bit overdone. In addition to that, Telkom is paying a 2 Rand 90 cents dividend. And you don't have to be a mathematical genius to figure out that 2 Rand 90 on a 64 Rand share gives you a dividend yield percentage of 4.5%.
Nice.
And we'll take that.
Hell mm-hmm. yes. Thank you very much.
So yesterday was the last day to trade to be privy to the dividend. So if you held the share up to yesterday, you would get this dividend. If you bought the share today, you're not going to get the dividend. So in other words, it goes ex-dividend today. The thing is, what will probably happen today is that the share will fall by the dividend amount of 2 Rand 90, obviously, because it's now less, it's worth less than it was yesterday by 2 Rand 90. Mm-hmm. What I'm counting on is that the share will bounce back. It's currently on a 9x trailing price earnings ratio, which is dirt cheap. So effectively, what we've just done is something called dividend stripping. So in other words, we're stripping the dividend out of the share. It's really only effective if, one, it's paying a decent dividend.
Yeah.
And if, two, you're comfortable that the share will bounce back. So we'll see what happens. I'll be watching this one very carefully. So as soon as the share trades back to the level where we bought it, we've made our 4.5% and we can sell it. We don't have to take risk. We don't have to take downside risk, you know. It's kind of, a nice arbitrage.
All right, Anthea, thank you very much.
My pleasure. Have a good day.
Cool, you too. Anthea Gardner, the Money Shot. Good morning, everybody. Are you ready for Wednesday? It's coming at you whether you like it or not.
Sketchy bongo.
Let's go.
Simplicity is what you bring to me.
CliffCentral.com.